It's the Gadget Grill on to RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I am Jason Murray and I forgot my nickname from 2 weeks ago.
Hot, sticky and ugly.
No, that's me.
So that's a joke that doesn't make any sense on the replay on Tuesday because the weather won't have been read in front of it.
Won't it?
No. And who the hell are you?
I am Jeff Quattromani, who just interrupts people.
We'll have to go back and listen to the show from 2 weeks ago, Jason, so we can recall who you are.
I think we'll have to, yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
No one knows who I am.
No. Welcome to this week's show. Jason, you were absent last week and you missed out on all the excitement.
I did.
He brought his away note, right?
He did bring a note.
It is cross-signed by three physicists, physicians.
Good.
Physicists.
Yeah, I've gotten physicists to tell me that I'm...
Yeah. So, Jason, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been moving a lot of things around the house, which is why I was away last week. I was just too tired. This week, it's All Mobile World Congress, so... there's a few phones that are being launched after the show tonight on Sunday night.
Indeed.
If you're listening to the replay on Tuesday, the phones will have already been launched.
And we can't tell you. We can't tell you about them because we don't yet know about them.
We know
nothing. Have some educated guesses.
We will have some educated guesses,
yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. But we can't tell you anything for certain. So rather than lead you astray, Jeff, what do you want to do?
In what way? I want to just predict everything.
You want to predict everything, mate?
I want to predict very accurately.
Jeff, you've got 30 seconds. Make your predictions.
No, we might do that in the news.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get the show underway.
Wait, hang on. How are you, Gary?
I am well.
People don't ask you enough.
They ask me, but they want to find out why.
I can see it.
They ask me, but they wander off before I have a chance to finish the 3 hours answer.
Everyone just expects good thanks. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Moving on.
Exactly. It's really quite amazing because people don't necessarily listen to that.
No, they don't care.
What you do is,
that's right.
If you work in a building where there's an elevator. And you see people and, you know, you nod hi or whatever. What you got to do is start a conversation, but start a conversation with the answer to the question you expect them to ask first.
I've done that simply out of not being very good at conversation.
No, you do that so that...
Give me an example. I'm confused.
Okay.
You up to someone and say, good, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. And before they ask you, how are you, you say, good, thanks.
Yes.
And they'll say, hi, how are you?
And there's lots of things. One time, you know, one thing that's worth trying is my dad died.
Oh, jeez.
And they're going to get all upset and so on. Oh, it's okay. Mm. It was 30-odd years ago. I'm over it now.
That's terrible.
It seems rather manipulative.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You expect less from me?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
This is Dragon and April Sun in Cuba.
Back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and broadcasting all over the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
All over the internet. It sounds messy.
We're all over it. It's disgusting.
It sounds messy. Jeff, will you please clean up that mess?
Wipe that mess right up.
Speaking of messy.
Yes.
Donald Trump.
Oh, yes.
Hasn't got nice things to say about Apple.
The Trumpster.
Yeah. No, no. He actually tweeted that everybody should boycott Apple products.
He also...
There was something significant about that tweet.
There was indeed, yes. Because he tweeted that from his Apple iPhone.
Now, there is a huge reason as to why he's ranting and raving about this stuff, and we are going to talk about this later in the show. It is to do with FBI asking Apple for access
to... We're not talking about the radio station in Sydney, are we, FBI?
Never heard of them.
Right, good. Right.
So it is to do with the FBI asking Apple for access to a phone, but we're going to talk about that later. But
yeah, Trump, we are indeed.
But Trump, mate, pick your phone.
Now, somebody suggested to us that we have... Mr. Trump, and invite him as a guest on the show.
Would love to.
Yeah.
I want to get
yeah.
fired.
Do we have to get Donald Trump, or can we get anyone named Trump?
Anyone named Trump, right. I think. Because that'd be more entertaining. Well, they wouldn't be more entertaining, but they'd be certainly more interesting.
I was going to say, you may underestimate the entertainment quality of Donald Trump.
I don't underestimate that at all.
While you were in Vegas, you could have interviewed Trump Tower.
Yeah, I probably
and the tower would have the tower would have actually given you a much better response than moving right along.
Let's move on. Can I talk a little bit about what's in my hand?
The phone.
Yes,
I thought you were talking about the thing in your other hand.
Well,
that's
when I review it. So I am holding in my hand a lovely little phone that we talked about a month ago called the Nexbit Robin.
Indeed.
They've been very, very nice to me, and they've gifted me with one of the first units on the planet.
Nice.
And, so the news is that it went on sale this week from their website. It's $399, which is fairly affordable for a phone with its specs. Mm-hmm. And, so you order it from them, and they will ship it anywhere in the world. Supports Australian 4G bands. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more later on.
Indeed.
So that cost works out to be $558 Australian, which is actually mm-hmm. competitive.
Yeah, it is quite competitive. Yeah.
Okay, how about some earbuds? Yes. Earphones mm-hmm. that pause the music for you.
Okay.
Earphones or earbuds?
Earbuds.
Or over earbuds. Ears? Because over ears have been doing it for a while.
Yeah. I was going to say.
No, they do it for you. What have I got? The first earphones that can automatically detect when to pause music with the help of patent-pending sensor technology, SenCBuds, that's SenCBuds, instantly know when they are taken out of your ear and pause the media you are playing accordingly.
So I got the same press release and replied with one line, like Jason mentioned, go look at what Plantronics has been doing for a couple of years.
Yeah, but so those guys have sensors in the pads, and like there's no pads
in the
ear.
I don't see how the technology is going to be that different. It notices when you take it out of the ear. Mate, it's been done. I didn't get a response to that email.
So I wonder why.
I don't know. It might be a little bit different. We'll see.
Yeah, look, yeah. I want to see them because I'm starting to look more towards earbuds.
Really?
Okay. I don't like wearing overhead ones anymore because it messes my hair.
Yeah, okay.
At work, I actually start to want
That's
to
why
wear.
He doesn't put the top down in his car.
It
messes his hair. And today you spent time at the barber, I see.
I did, but then I put my hat on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alcatel OneTouch.
Yes.
We've spoken about them a little bit.
We have indeed.
They have made journalists everywhere really happy this week by rebranding, so they're just Alcatel.
Yeah.
Which is good because that's how we've always referred to them anyway.
No more touching. Yes. No more touching Alcatel.
So they've pleased everyone everywhere. They also announced a new phone, which is a follow-up to last year's Idol 3. Mm-hmm. The Idol 4 has reversible stuff going on. You can reverse it up and down, you can reverse it left and right, and you reverse it top and bottom, and it figures out where your left and right audio and sound should be.
Yes.
Sounds good. And the Idol 3 was quite nice. Reminded us of a Nexus 4.
It does look like the Nexus 4.
Yeah, it was also quite cheap. I think it was something in the vicinity of $300 to $350.
Yeah. Speaking of phones, you said $300 roughly for a phone.
Yeah.
How about $5 for a phone?
That's a lot less.
Outright.
Yeah. Wow. What?
Five US dollars.
Is it on contract?
Five
US dollars, so it's about 11,000 Australian. So
that's right, yeah. Plus GST.
251 rupees.
At 15%.
In Australian dollars is $5.10. So for $5.
So it's $4 US. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me more, I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
It's an Android-powered phone. Mm-hmm. It's got a 4-inch screen, so it's not amazing, but it's got a quad-core processor, a gig of RAM, 8 gig of storage, pretty poor cameras, but it's $5.
$5.
It's $5.
Is it 3G or 4G? It's probably 3G.
It's 3G only.
Is it 3G? Yeah.
3G only. It was available in India. The site which they launched four orders crashed within the first hour.
Was the site one of these online shopping cart things? Because there's a few of them in India where they often throw cheap phones up.
No, it was their own site. Okay. So it was all through their own site.
So they were just not ready.
It's called the Freedom 251, but they took 600,000 hits in the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
So they went, we're out.
It's pretty amazing. Did all of those convert into orders?
Where are they being manufactured? In India or in China?
India, 100%.
Wow.
So it's a real thing that India is actually working towards, because the Indian government's trying to push for innovation and jobs in India. And this is sort of the first example of that, where they've gone, right, we can make a phone. Here it is, $5.
Well, they've been pushing for cheap phones and for cheap laptops for quite a while in India. And
the laptop thing didn't work out
It didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but $5, if this thing lasts me a day as an emergency phone, I'd be happy.
Yes, it's quite good.
In actual fact, that's not a bad way of looking at it as well.
Imagine that. If you go to a store, I've broken the screen on my phone, can you fix it? Yeah, here's a phone for the next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in the bin when you're done.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So throw it in the bin when you're done is kind of a Western way of looking at the $5 phone, but okay.
Yep, throw it. Give it to the homeless. You could connect all the homeless people in Australia for, I don't know how many there are. I'm crossing boundaries, I think.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Should we stop? Have you ever wanted to wear your... Oh, sorry. Okay. Go on, Skype.
Skype. Yeah. Ads on Skype are doing a wonderful job, apparently, of delivering malware.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Actual malware?
Dodgy ads displayed within Skype.
I have seen a number of warnings F-Secure, this week not to run Skype.
F-Secure has discovered that malvertising delivers advertising that's infected with malware.
Sorry, can we just go back? Malvertising?
I know, I don't like
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
So this is actually the second time in 2 weeks I've heard this term.
I'm so sorry. Isn't it terrible?
Oh, it's terrible.
I'm just using it because it's here in the article that I'm reading from. Shall we avoid words like that?
Let's avoid Skype. Is that the easier thing?
Yeah, that's the easier thing to do. Yeah. Avoid Skype.
So that's interesting.
And avoid using phablets.
Microsoft has made a big thing about adding advertising to Skype in order to keep it free.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess so.
I guess they need to exercise a little bit more caution with what they do with it.
Well, what happens, of course, is that the advertising comes from conglomerates, people. Mm-hmm. Push the advertising on there, and that then comes from other parties, and it's those other parties that Skype doesn't actually directly deal with who are putting the crap on there.
Isn't it also Microsoft's responsibility to ensure that the ads are displayed in a sandboxed environment, though?
One would think so. Mm. One would think so.
Have you ever wanted to wear your watch on your wrist?
You mean like this one?
I mean, yeah, I wrote that wrong. Have you ever wanted to wear your phone on your wrist? I do.
Actually,
I'm like Ron Burgundy. If I write something wrong and it's in front of me, it comes out.
Actually, that's a very good question. Do I want to wear my phone on my wrist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to do a poll of the people in the studio here tonight.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey, what do you think my answer is going to be to that question?
Look, I'll give you my answer.
No,
I
want you.
I don't know your answer.
No, give me what you think my answer
Jeff,
is going to be.
Your answer, then Gary's.
Yes.
I'll say no to both.
Okay.
Myself and Gary.
Jason?
I'm expecting some kind of a 2-minute long discussion about smart devices.
No. It's going to be a simple one-word answer.
No.
No? Dee Dee.
Shaking her head.
Shaking her head.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what that noise was.
Didn't Samsung do this?
So Samsung did this with the Gear S.
Yeah.
But there's a team of researchers at Queen's University.
We're carrying on and we haven't got my answer yet.
Oh, we know what your answer is going to be.
Obviously, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes just to stir you
guys. So Queen's University researchers have developed a flexible smartphone prototype. And the prototype looks like it's made to be worn around your wrist.
Yep.
Okay.
And it sort of looks like a bit of a large deformed phone, which is also what Samsung's watch looked like.
It really was. Yep.
And it has haptic feedback designed to provide specific feedback for user action. So, like, if you're turning the pages of a book, then it will vibrate accordingly. They say that they're going to have flexible phones on the market within 5 years using their technology.
I believe that.
I don't think it's going to take that long because we have seen flexible screens. We saw flexible screens last year.
So LG's been doing sort of flexible screens, but like they're not.
Toshiba have been doing some stuff with the flexible screens.
Yeah, cool.
And
5 years seems like a long stretch, actually. I would say two to three.
Do you reckon 5 years is kind of just a safe bet from them?
I think so.
It's like, yeah, this will be around within five years.
We will defeat expectations.
Yes.
Obviously, this is the lead developer's estimate of time.
Yeah,
maybe.
Mobile World Congress is on in Barcelona this week.
It certainly is.
Barcelona.
And
what's going on?
I thought we were just all speaking Spanish then.
Yes.
And so there's lots of stuff happening in Mobile World Congress.
Lots of stuff happening with phones. Lots of people are making announcements overnight tonight.
Wild predictions.
You've just gotten one from Huawei, I believe, Jason.
Well, I believe you got one from Huawei.
I got one earlier in the week from Huawei, which is basically saying that at the phone Congress, Mobile World Congress, they're going to actually launch a Surface tablet ripoff.
Interesting.
I don't think they would have called it that, though, did they?
There's no name for it that I can see here. But it's...
So it's going to be a Windows device.
It's going to be a Windows device,
a Windows tablet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Okay. But it's going to have a pen, a removable screen, a keyboard.
So they've been advertising all week saying that, you know, they're advertising a new way of doing business.
That makes sense then.
Yeah.
That does make sense because they're going to try and reinvent the way people buy computers and stuff, right?
Indeed. Maybe. So it would seem.
Is this the first time Huawei's done Windows?
I don't think it is.
Oh, I can't remember one.
I think Huawei's done Windows Phone.
Did they really?
That's sure right. I have.
Yes. How embarrassing.
And there was a new Windows Phone announced during the week as well.
By who?
What?
By
Microsoft. Who else makes Windows
Phones? Yeah, I was like, that's great.
So they
announced one on about Wednesday. Oh.
So we are also expecting overnight, tonight being Sunday, that LG and Samsung are going to announce their 2016 flagships as well.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
There's going to be some new phones announced overnight.
New Galaxy. It's going to be called the S7.
Wow.
Replacing the S6.
That's a tough call.
Wild, I know.
I don't know.
That's a tough call. Care to make any other?
I don't know. Jeff might want to walk back from the edge on that one.
Oh, I see what you did there with the edge.
I know, right?
Oh, very good.
It was also completely unintentional.
Very good, Jason. So LG
is also expected to announce the G5.
Replacing the G4.
Four. Yep.
That's amazing. Four.
Five. Four. He's a jolly good fan.
Oh,
we're losing it.
We are.
I got one more.
Okay.
I have one more.
All right. Good. We've got two more. Let's go.
We've got plenty of time.
Last year, Mattel relaunched its ViewMaster with Google Cardboard.
That's a fun device.
So this year, it's bringing back another name from the 60s. It's bringing back the ThingMaker, which was a toy that was launched in the 60s, shipped with die-cast metal molds, in which you would pour a substance called plastic goop and bake it in the oven to produce a toy.
I think I might remember this.
Mate, this is the one thing you've ever remembered from the 60s on the show.
How do I know about that?
So it sounds pretty ripe for an update as a 3D printer, doesn't it?
It is, yeah.
So that is exactly what Mattel is doing. The new ThingMaker will print small toys designed on an Android or iOS device. And it's coming to the market, at least in the US, later this year.
So we're going to be doing 3D printing from our iOS or Android.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Which is new, because during the week, one of the major retailers in Australia
actually
had a 3D printer on sale for about $500.
That's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. Walk into the store, take home, if the staff didn't get it first, a 3D printer for $500-odd.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
It is.
Yeah, someone did that last year for a grand or something, wasn't it?
$1,500 out of Officeworks,
So that's not bad if after a year...
That was two years ago.
Oh, right. So after two years, we've seen them drop down in price, you could say, by that much?
By 60%.
Yeah. So it tells you where things are going.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah, 3D printing is going to become mainstream very soon, although I'd like to see it with... metal 3D printing rather than the plastic.
I do have some metal 3D printed objects, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It does have, yeah, it is.
Pick them up possible. At CES?
No.
No?
No, a friend of mine actually made them. You can actually design and print stuff in metal off, there's a website where you can send the
I think
of its name.
Not the same.
So last one for me, last weekend, 14th of February, Valentine's Day, Telstra had their free data day. And I know we spoke about it last Sunday, but we've got some data around the data that was consumed.
This, so this is actually metadata.
This is now how much data was downloaded.
This is metadata. Pay attention, George.
It's a crazy figure. 1,841 terabytes of data in 24 hours.
Now, the interesting thing about that is that Telstra didn't exactly give us a benchmark for what they normally do.
How it compares to another day, right? Yeah, I agree.
Buried in the press release elsewhere, they said that people did double what they would normally do on a day, but they don't say whether that changes Saturdays, Sundays, and weekdays.
So the interesting thing is they've got around 10 million customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 184 meg per user.
Mm-hmm.
Even on an average day, that would be high.
Yes.
So some people went absolutely crazy, mm-hmm. and some people did just their normal day.
Yeah.
So for myself, I'm with Telstra, for example. My day didn't do anything different.
So you didn't stream the entirety of YouTube for the day?
I didn't download internet.com. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't do it. Yeah. But that is a lot of content. That's around 2.3 million movies if you want to convert it to something.
That is a lot of data. Let's not forget the reason that Telstra had the free data day.
is because they had
a massive outage.
Massive meltdown. Yeah. So this was a nice way to say, we're sorry, here you have as much data as you want. And some people really went to town on them.
Mm-hmm,
good.
Totally did.
Good stuff. That's it.
Okay. So we finished the news, have we?
Yeah,
I think so.
Indeed. We're going to play a bit of music. This is The Hollies and one of my very favourite songs, Out of the 60s. I'm in a 60s mood today.
Would you like a thing maker?
Yeah, yeah. This is The Hollies. He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Nice.
The road is long.
You're back with The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed you are. And I believe there's a new operating system out on Apple devices at the moment.
It's called FBI OS.
Indeed it is.
As in Facebook iOS?
No.
No, as in
this is the one thing.
Federal
one
Bureau of Investigation Operating System. And,
oh, I see.
And Apple perhaps may have to develop a special version of iOS for the FBI.
So let's talk about why this is, right? So the FBI has the phone. It was actually the work phone of a person who they shot dead in the San Bernardino
massacre. Yes.
And they're trying to get access to this device to find out whether or not he has any correspondence on the device that will give up the people that he was working with.
Yes.
So the phone is locked. It's an iPhone 5C, so there's no fingerprint scanner, so they can't use his fingerprint.
Well, he's dead.
And it's locked by a PIN. And so the FBI knows that if they try to unlock the phone and they fail too many times, bad things will happen. Accounts will be locked. Phone will be erased. All sorts of things. So they have asked the court to compel Apple, which is something that can actually be done in the States, to create a special version of iOS that they can update this phone with that will remove certain restrictions.
Security.
On the lock, yes. So they'll remove the bypass, they'll remove the delay that happens if you get the PIN code wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They will remove the restriction on the number of attempts mm-hmm. that you can make to unlock the phone using the PIN. And they will also, and this is one that I thought was quite interesting, they will also allow the FBI to submit PIN code requests via lightning cable, via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or some kind of mechanism like that.
Okay.
Which, given that it's a four-digit PIN, once they get that...
It's four-digit?
Yeah.
How do they know that it's only four-digit?
Because it aren't all...
No, you can make it as much as you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we
well, not as much as you want.
There I thought it was like six or eight. As
I think minimum. I think is four.
Yeah. So let's assume it's that.
Yeah.
And so they will very quickly brute force their way into that. Now, the interesting part of it is that the FBI has gone to the courts and they've asked the courts to compel Apple to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The courts have agreed. Because, like, you know,
it seems fairly
reasonable for them to do this in this case.
The guy killed people.
Except Apple kind of disagrees. Tim Cook has publicly stated that Apple does not want to do this because they see it as a bit of a slippery slope to allowing any law enforcement agency access to iPhones. Yep.
So it brings us to now.
Yes.
Before we go into the debate about what they should and shouldn't do,
yep.
If it's a government-issued phone, correct?
I don't think it's a government-issued phone. I think
was he a
government worker?
He was a county worker. He worked for the county, that's like a local government.
So it's a government-issued phone,
mm-hmm.
or even a business phone, a company device.
I believe the company has given their approval for this to happen.
The employer.
But just to make sure, it is a company device. What company is not securing the phones themselves via some sort of MDM product?
MDM system? Yeah, that's
because
quite
interesting. Because if that was the case, who cares about the PIN? The MDM product could just change the PIN on their end.
Depends on the size of the organization that he's working for, though. I mean, like...
The government!
But I've worked... Yeah, sure, but the government is not just one organization.
What county was it?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure it's big enough to afford it.
But it depends what his job was within there as well.
It shouldn't matter.
Maybe it shouldn't at the point where it's at county level. But like, I know, like, I've worked for businesses where developers go on call for a weekend and they're just given an iPhone, right? It could have been that kind of a situation.
Yeah, I get that. So now that that's happened and mm-hmm. Apple said no.
Apple is appealing the decision. Like, they can't actually say no to this, but they're appealing.
They're buying time.
Yes.
There's a lot of people like Donald Trump, obviously, are upset, saying that we should boycott Apple until they step down and give in to government demands.
Mm-hmm. So Facebook and, I believe, Google have both come out in support of Apple's stance.
And saying that, you know, privacy is important. If they promise privacy to somebody, whether they're dead or alive, it should still be...
Well, it comes down to... In Australia, where we'd say consumer affairs, it's a breach of a product guarantee that you have the privacy.
Interesting.
I think it's also interesting because it does point to the fact that the NSA hasn't managed to hack into an iPhone, because otherwise they would have just done it.
Now,
well, one of the things here, of course, is that the FBI instructed the local government authority who owns the phone... to reset the user's iCloud password, which they did.
Yep.
And that's actually complicated the matter and made it worse for them. So the FBI have actually screwed up, it would seem, based on that.
So there's that too.
Yeah.
Well, so they would have been trying to get access to the phone via the iCloud account.
Yeah, but... Mm. They haven't actually mentioned that in their court deposition to get Apple to...
No, but they don't really have to, do they? I mean...
If they're going to present... Really well, it's part of the facts of the case.
Mm.
Hey, we screwed up here. We, you know...
But, I mean, if
Are they being dishonest in not disclosing that?
Well, I don't necessarily think so.
They're not being open. They're not being transparent.
I don't think the FBI has to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they need to be. This is a serious case of a guy who killed people... And they need to get into the bloke's phone. Look, at the end of the day, I think Apple will lose this one. I think they will have to do this.
Well, it's a matter of national security, so that's quite likely.
I think the point of
I don't think Apple thinks they're going to win it, but
no.
I think the point of actually making a show of being against it is that you win in the court of public opinion.
Potentially.
Because
although, you know what?
They're going out and saying that privacy and security is important to them. And let's think about this. Like, when was the last time a company was actually able to say, hey, no one's been able to hack into our phone?
Look,
it's pretty good PR for them either way.
Agreed. Apple should be very happy that they're the only ones who have the power in terms of unlocking this device. They should be super happy.
We should talk about the restrictions in terms of that power as well, because they were instructed that they could make this special version of iOS only work on the one device that's in the FBI's possession.
Yep.
And they were able to retain ownership of it, so the FBI could send the phone to them, they could install the software and then send it back to the FBI.
Then in that case, get on with it and do it.
So I think those are the restrictions that actually make it fairly reasonable.
Completely. They're not saying, can you please put this on the internet so that people can download it in case they need to crack into a phone.
So the next question to that, though, is that if they can be compelled to create it
for one person, does that open the floodgates?
So that's not my next question. My next question is, if they can be compelled to create this extra version of iOS, and they can do it in such a way that it's restricted, so the FBI has to send it to them and then they send it back.
Yep.
What's stopping them from being compelled for turning over the software? Because that could be the next order that comes down the line.
Yeah, well, that's a different opening of the floodgates.
But then is that a problem?
Yes.
If the FBI has software that if they take somebody's phone and need to get into it, they can, good.
Do you want the NSA being able to get into everyone? Because the NSA will just take it from the FBI.
Jeff takes the view.
Mm. But they need the person's phone.
Yes.
So it's like getting a warrant to search your house. They would have to get court order to search your phone. It's the same deal. It's just the new world.
Jeff takes the view that if you have nothing to hide, then it's not a problem. Well, but that avoids the question of it is a straight out invasion of privacy, a breach of privacy.
So is getting a warrant to search your house. It is no different. People used to keep documents on paper. They used to raid filing cabinets. Now you've got documents or photos on your phone, which they need to get to. Mate, you get a warrant, you have access to it.
So I personally have a tendency to argue technicalities, and so I've been trying not to argue technicalities on this because, yes, I think it is a bit of an invasion of privacy, but I also think that given the circumstances involved.
You're saying it's a justifiable invasion of privacy.
I do think there's one other thing to consider, though, which is that this was the guy's work phone. If he was having any discussions with people, it was not happening on this phone. So it could all be for naught. Or he might have been an idiot and he may have stored stuff on his work
phone. What are the chances of that being the case?
That there's nothing there anyway?
I think the chance is pretty good that there's nothing on it.
I reckon
the chances are pretty good that...
But it's Schrodinger's phone, right? You can't tell what's on it until you look at it, right?
Yes, the last thing I read about it, too, was that John McAfee, we all remember him?
Oh, yeah, he offered to break into the phone.
He said, give me 3 weeks, guys, or I will eat my own shoe.
That's actually a pretty big claim from McAfee because he's hiding away on a desert island. I don't think he has many shoes.
And that's going to be a big deal. That's a big meal to eat.
Yeah.
So John McAfee was the founder of McAfee Antivirus.
He was. I don't think McAfee Antivirus wants that much to do with him anymore. He's been a little bit strange for the last few years.
I think we'd rather have Norton do something than
maybe.
McAfee.
Maybe.
Yes.
But I'd love
what about the dude off the Trend Micro ads who's wandering around your computer on a Segway? Oh, no, that was Jackie Chan. Yes, I want Jackie Chan. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jackie Chan would be able to do it.
Jackie Chan on a Segway?
Trend Micro had an ad with Jackie Chan on a Segway.
That's so right.
We saw a guy yesterday down at Railway Square breaking the law. He was on one of these...
I like why you raise your eyebrows when you say breaking the law.
Oh, yeah, he was on one of these hoverboards.
Mm, yeah. Did it explode?
No, it didn't, but he was... riding it across the road while he was texting on his phone.
Oh, wow. You know, how many laws do you want to break?
Well, you know, I think that adds weight to my theory about people with skateboards, and I think with those who are riding hoverboards, it probably increases by an order of magnitude whereby...
Let's bring it back home.
Yeah.
Do you think that the FBI should have access to that guy's phone?
I think they should have access to his hoverboard.
You know what? They probably already do.
They probably already do.
Okay. So where did we come down on this, Jeff? You think Apple should just do it?
Jeff thinks Apple should do it.
So, yes, based on the fact that if you get a warrant for a house search, you can get in. Same thing should apply in the digital world.
I think they should just do it as well.
100%.
Gary?
I think the privacy is important here. I understand that it's a worthwhile cause. I don't know that the courts are justified in saying this, but I'm going to sit on the fence on this one.
You can't do that.
It sounds painful.
It is very painful. Very painful. It's like going to the doctor this Tuesday. That's going to be painful too. This is Mental as Anything. And if you leave me, can I come too? Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com and also on the internet at gadgetgrill.com.au. We're going to talk about that.
That there.
That right there. Good. In Jason's hand.
This thing. Okay. Yeah,
hold it up to the microphone so that the listener can see it.
Have a look.
Right.
I have the next bit, Robin, in my hands. It is a Kickstarter-founded phone.
It's a square phone. It's not a round robin.
True.
So tell me about this thing. What have you got in your hand exactly?
So this is a phone that has been created by a company that is staffed by 30 people out of Seattle. It went up onto Kickstarter in September, and it costs $399 US.
Yep.
So its specs are pretty much like a Nexus 5X. It's got a Snapdragon 808 inside it. It's got 3 GB of RAM. It's got a rather nice 1080p screen, front-facing speakers, NFC, and it's a 13-megapixel rear camera and a 5-megapixel front camera.
What sets this one apart from every other phone that we've got on the market?
So the big thing with this is that it's got 100 GB of cloud storage backup.
100.
So if you fill your 32 GB, it will start offloading things that you've backed up.
Now,
so apps and photos.
Now, when you think about what Samsung and others offer when they give you the free Dropbox subscription sometimes, 200 gig.
Are they 200 gig? Then they're often like 50 gigs.
Say 50.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the biggest thing to get people across the line, though, is
those
it?
Those are also time-limited subscriptions. So that's after a year or so, space runs out.
So when you say you've got this cloud storage, how does that work?
So if you fill up the phone, then it will offload apps that you don't use, and it'll offload photos that you don't lose,
So it basically gets to a point where your phone is starting to fill up. Mm-hmm. Or does it do it before that?
It has a minimum space that it likes to keep free on the phone. Yep. And once you encroach into that space, it will offload things that you haven't used.
And when you say offload, say, for example, there's an app that I haven't used in 6 months. It's going to offload that. Mm-hmm. Does it just uninstall it and I can't find it anymore? Or is it leaving something behind?
No, it leaves a grayscale version of the icon. They call it a ghost icon in your launcher. And so when you tap it, it will restore that app.
That's kind of smart.
And so if you're running out of space at that point, it'll take something else off.
Now, I do the same thing with photos, but the photos then disappear from my camera roll and they only appear in, say, my Dropbox. Does it do the same ghosting thing for your images as well in your camera roll?
So it keeps a 1080p thumbnail.
Which is plenty
which is pretty
big.
Good if you're scrolling through it on your screen.
Yep.
If you zoom in on that photo, it will fetch the high-resolution version.
So it's seamless.
It's seamless. It might take a little bit of time if you need to. Takes some time to reinstall apps and it takes some time to download the photos, but it's still pretty good.
So you might have a delay in actually getting the full version of the image or actually being able to use the application that's on there.
Yeah, you might have to wait a minute or two. So the image comes down much faster.
So fair to say there's no expandable storage on that then?
No, there is no expandable storage. This is a 32 gig model, which is pretty good. Like I've had 32 gig phones for a while.
That brings me to my last question. Is there a reason why they didn't just put expandable storage and say, well, do the same thing, but to a large micro SD card, which could be bigger than 100 gig.
I think the problem with that is that if you do that and you lose the phone, you've lost the SD card as well.
Awesome. So I lose my next bit, Robin, buy another one, and then I can go back to the way it was before I lost it.
In theory, yes.
Awesome.
I've asked this question of them, but they haven't actually given me an answer yet. Okay. I would like to think it works that way if you sign into the same account.
So you kind of create your own Nextbit Robin account when you set that phone up?
Yeah.
In the way that you create a Gmail account for Android?
Yeah. So Nextbit has a backup service that's integrated into the phone.
Yep.
And so it will. So you sign in with a Google account into that.
Can you choose where your backup goes, or does it have to go to the Nextbit? It
has to go to Nextbit servers.
That's kind of a risk in some ways, isn't it?
I feel like it kind of is.
I don't like that idea at all.
Also, I kind of feel like it might be a little bit of a risk because they are a small company.
It's a bit Apple-ish though, right? It's like iCloud-ish.
It's a little bit. They want you to use their service.
Yeah, which I understand.
That's kind of the point of the phone. Hmm. But the phone can be unlocked. You can replace the ROM on it. You can install all sorts of goodies. Mm-hmm. And it's as I said, it's $399 US.
Yep.
You can order it from their website, and they also sell a whole bunch of accessories like cases.
And lastly, chargers. How do they feel about FBI getting access to their phones?
I don't know. I haven't asked them, but I can ask them that and see what they say.
Especially since everything's already in the cloud. That's easy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is The Animals.
Right. House
of the Rising Sun.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2 RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Keep talking.
Oh, I have the useless gadget. Apparently,
you do,
it's
indeed.
Not really a gadget.
It's totally not a gadget. It's creepy.
It's a cake for a baby shower. The problem is, it's like a newborn baby and it looks real. And you've got to cut it up and eat it. It's disgusting.
So you can have baby arms, baby legs.
Baby arms, baby legs. Cut the head off. Like, you know, the top of the head's been cut off and there's like this pink, looks like brain inside.
I've got to ask the question.
The arms have been chopped off.
I have to ask the question. Is it male or female?
Well, I can't tell because it's got his bottom. It's on his belly. It's got his bottom up in the air.
That's even worse. Is it a chocolate cake?
No, I think it looks like a red velvet cake.
Okay.
Which is chocolate, but...
Yeah.
Oh, it's just disgusting. It's just awful. I don't know how you could even eat that.
It's awful, and Jeff's a terrible person for cracking up laughing behind the microphone.
I am just offended. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It's terrible. I don't want it.
It's very gross. Very gross.
You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. We'll be back next week with more. And we'll have lots of stuff from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
What have you seen?
I'm the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
I'm Jason Murray, and the FBI is welcome to look at my phone.
There you go. This is Charlie Bird, Trio, and Broadway.
They probably already have.
Yes.